for the purpose, critique, and review, educational purpose, that is, the Shiny Squirrel Podcast proudly presents.
Hey, it's the Nerdlings Podcast. I'm WC Chronicles, your senior host,
Jersey Mike Jr., and we are doing...
All right, so last week we did the podcast talking about Robert Carradine. Next week, next podcast, we will get into the next nerd, and then after that, the next nerd.
Edward Norton, right? I think
it's Anthony name. Edwards.
Anthony Edwards, okay. I'm thinking Edward Norton. I don't know where I got
I'm going to be honest with you. I was blanking on it there for a second.
Yeah, Edward Norton.
So we're just doing a buffet.
Oh, that's the actor. Okay, yeah. My brain. It's 114 people.
Yeah.
We're doing a
deal
buffet.
Deal with it.
Yeah, we're doing a buffet, smorgasbord, slap your monkey style thing, throw it up, and just whatever comes out, shoots out, baby.
So I was going to ask, should we do the Mabel Doomsday Vault update every other week, or every should we do?
I think we got to do the first couple weeks, at least 3-4 times, see how people like it.
Okay, because I do have some updates.
Oh, I want to hear Mabel's updates.
Okay, so let's hit the theme music.
Killer as a gal can be, a household name in every family, but the one she wants so bad ain't the guy who yells like man.
Okay, I am smart ass B-Hush.
And I'm scrambled eggs. Now, does Mabel turn around? I'm trying to think of that thing. It's not a ukulele. It's one of those big things, like they put like a pot or
something,
not a pot, a
Beverly,
bucket. Yeah.
Something
and, yeah,
for Beverly
put,
Hills.
Yeah,
guys.
They pull it up and then they put a couple strings on it, and they always see them jamming in one of those older TV shows.
We're going to have to do an exploration into the Beverly
Hillbillies
on that
crazy.
One.
It's crazy. They jam, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, they were always jamming doing that, you know, something that the Foggy Mountain Breakdown or something Steve Martin would do with his Steep Canyon band,
yes.
You know? So here's the Mabel update, all right?
Okay, Mabel.
So
you're updated.
I started talking about how we're going to be going back and hitting Branson Canyon, maybe hit the Batcave again, but definitely going to do the hike up to the top of the Hollywood sign.
12 miles round trip, you said.
I just was kidding to shock you.
Oh, I was shocked. So you said 12 miles. I was like, enjoy yourself.
That way 6 miles don't sound so bad.
No, it doesn't. I was going to go to the Celebrity Center and hang out.
But my dad, part one of the story is my mom bought these hot, she has a little office chair that she sits in, broke a wheel on it, and you don't fix these things. You throw them away. You buy a new one. Home Depot had hot pink office chairs on sale for like $49.
Mabel got Mabeled with one?
Not one, but two.
Wow. Now, why does Mabel need two hot pink chairs for you and your dad?
Well, you know, sometimes when you go down into the Doomsday Vault, you got to put the string on. You're going to get tired.
Now you get a pink chair to
sit
on?
Yeah, you sit on the pink office chair, put the string or the rope on you, actually the chain, and away you go down into the Doomsday Vault to get all the good stuff.
Well,
here's the other side. Here's where Mr. Mabel, it's my dad, Dan, I started talking about how I'm going to go do this down, check out the Hollywood sign, and my dad chimes in and says, you're going to have to look it up. Very few people know about it. The Hitler House of Los Angeles.
Oh, is that from the movie?
No. This is actually, now here's the thing, they call it the Hitler House because back during World War II when it started, these were a bunch of Nazi sympathizers. They purchased this huge compound. I mean, we're talking maybe a few hundred acres.
Wow.
They had a water reservoir there, they had a mechanic shop, they had a bunker, but then right after World War II at Pearl Harbor, the police raided it and shut it down.
Oh, that was good. I wonder if they were actually waiting for Hitler to fly in there.
That's what their demeanor was.
I was just going to say.
It's a very big piece of history.
Yeah, and they could fly in and he could stay in America.
That's what their plan was back then. But, of course, that's been deuced out and it ain't going to happen. But it's actually a real big piece of history. So from my dad, I've learned there's a chance we can probably go visit the Hitler House. It's a wonderful piece of history.
Pretty cool, pretty cool.
But so that's pretty much the whole thing. But the Hitler House, here's the story, okay? My mom makes good potato salad, okay? It doesn't last long. Lasts maybe a day, big old colander of it. There was a little bit left, okay? I already had some during lunch. This happened like 15 years ago. She's going to kill me for telling the story, but I don't care. This is part of the Mabel update. So it's dinner time. It's about 4:30. She's got the refrigerator door open. She goes, well, here, you can have some leftover applesauce. Here's a couple of deviled eggs. Here, you can have some potato salad. And I go, I don't want potato salad. Well, why not? There's just like maybe a few tablespoons left. Well, why not? Well, I already had some for lunch. And my dad's standing there, like, kind of, we're both kind of like waiting to see what's going to be put out for these leftovers. And she goes, well, you don't need any potato salad. And she puts it back in. My dad goes, well, I would like some. And she goes, now this is like right out of the Seinfeld episode, The Soup Nazi. She turns and she goes, well, you don't need any either. No potato salad for you.
There's Mabel!
And that started the whole Nazi potato salad thing, spun from the Seinfeld episode. So I told her and been teasing her, I want to go to the Hitler house and see where she got the idea for Nazi potato salad.
Nazi potato salad. There's Mabel's update. Now,
hey, Mabel! How about it? Oh, boy, it's not popular. The gal can't be. Did you say popular?
I did.
She's popular with me.
Why even Santa boys feel gay as they shout, ankles away!
Perfect. That's awesome. And that's your Mabel update. So, you know, I'm getting ready to head. I have not had a decent day off since I went back and surprised my mom for her birthday back in April. That's how the grind has been going.
You haven't listened for like Huey Lewis on the news. We played a lot of his stuff. You deserve a day off or
a couple days off.
You know, you got to take one at least.
I'm taking it. I'm going to knock out Monday afternoon, leave Tuesday morning. I'm going out. Some people don't know why. I love rocks. I love holes in the ground. I'm going out to Tonopah, which is about 200 miles from Vegas here. There is an old, not just one, but there's about four silver mines on this acreage of about 110 acres of property. Museums, artifacts, and they let you just, you pay your $5-$10 and you can just spend the whole day there. I dig this stuff. I used to like crocs and geology when I was young. That's what I'm doing. Be gone for 2 days and just go.
Enjoy yourself, because I wonder if you're going to come across any meteorites, because you're out in the desert where things break up. So you never know.
If I remember to grab my magnet, grab my dowel so I can put the magnet on the end of the stick, I will go looking.
Yeah, because that's got to be pretty neat. Especially, it's a 20-degree difference.
Yeah.
You got the stars at
that's a great
you
thing.
Get to relax. Yeah.
83 to 88 degrees from our 114
cannot
be here.
There.
And so I will be off the freaking grid.
Yeah, that'll be nice. That'll be nice. You won't get all sunned out. Sundown,
yeah.
I know for people who lose their memories or older, well, here we get sunned out. You can't go anywhere after being out for 2-3 hours. You get mesmerized, mind melt out of this thing.
That is what you call a mind melt, that's
yes,
for sure.
Very hot.
So I was a few topics, loose strings we'll talk about here, get this podcast rolling, this buffet of nerdism. Adam West passed away, you know. Did you know he was once considered, he was being considered and groomed to be the next James Bond?
No, I didn't know that. But it doesn't surprise me, because when he played
Batman?
No.
Mayor West?
No, not Batman.
Bruce Wayne.
He was, you know, educated.
Yes.
That was character. And you could see him being on the, you know, like a politician.
Exactly. He said he turned the role down of James Bond because he basically stated James Bond needs to be British. He's not British.
I think he would have been a good Bond.
I think so too, but here's a couple of commercials that led into that thought of him doing it. This is a commercial for Nestle Quick back before the whole Batman thing started, okay? And it kind of has a secret agent feel to it, okay?
I see automation displaces labor in your organization too, Dr. Sloan.
Ah, Captain Q. Join me in a glass of delicious chocolate quick, won't you?
Thank you, Doctor. I could use some energy. Incidentally, one of those torpedoes you fired at me was circling, and you're sunk.
Toodaloo! Captain Q!
Some people will do anything to get rich quick. Toodaloo.
It's almost campy like Batman, you know, the forerunner of what it was.
Wow.
Now, here's another commercial he did for Kellogg's.
Hey, Messy, you hold that spoon like a hammer.
Frosted Flakes.
Frosted Flakes.
Frosted Flakes.
Well, anyway, you hold your spoon right. You'll get more plus Frosted Flakes in your mouth. Okay?
Okay.
Observe. He who imparts knowledge often gains some. Case in point, meticulous father utilizing Kellogg's Sugar Frosted Flakes purely as a teaching aid. In so doing, he discovers that these large, crisp flakes of corn with their special toasted-in sugar frosting are a great way to sweeten up the day. Such instruction is necessary. Otherwise, some parents might never know the pleasure or the proper method of eating Kellogg's Sugar Frosted Flakes. Frosted Flakes.
Now, I've never thought about that. Do you hold the spoon like a hammer?
Some days you're lucky you can hold your spoon at all. You get older, your hands start hurting. Enough about that. Long story short, that was really neat.
That was good.
Batman has a father figure.
Yes.
Educational. I'm glad you came up with that.
And Family Guy paid like a 9-minute tribute to him, to Adam West. And actually, they still have Adam West's vocals, voiceovers that were done. So he's going to be in like something like, I read like 7 more episodes of Family Guy. You know, I'm almost tempted to go back to the Batcave again just because. You know?
Why not? It's right there.
It's right there. All right, so where does that lead us next?
1956, saw the original movie. Life of Jesse James last night. I don't know why I put it on, but it was early in the morning, 3 to 5.
Who was in it?
Robert Wagner played Jesse James. Now, the Skipper was in it. He played...
Alan Hale Jr.?
Yeah, he played... Mike, come on.
Billy the Kid?
No, younger.
Younger
Cole
version?
Younger he played.
Okay.
The guy's one of their gang members. Now, there's two stars right there you did not expect, 1956, black and white to see.
Alan Hale Jr.
Yes.
And Robert Wagner
as the original Jesse James and the Jesse James gang.
Let's see what we got from Mabel down in the
desert. Yes, Mabel.
I gotta sit on the pink chair and scroll down in there.
When he gets shot in the back and dies, like, at the end, right? Who do you think is one of the Riddler?
The Riddler?
Frank Gershwin.
Frank Gershwin?
He's actually in the movie.
Back in the day, they kind of all were in the same circuit, in the same movie.
They worked their ass off as actors back
then. They did.
And it's like 1956, black and white. That you don't expect you're going to see something 70 years old.
No.
And it turned out to be a fucking hell of a movie, man.
Jesse! Frank! If you don't surrender, we'll blast you out with dynamite!
Here is the epic story of America's greatest outlaw and his march of terror from preacher's son to bandit king. The truth about the man who invented train robberies, daylight bank holdups, whose name struck terror across 1,000 miles of borderland.
You really like killing, don't you?
It comes easy in our business.
Is that why you chose the business, so you go on killing?
Jesse James. That name means something. When those Yankee bankers hear it spoken, they start shaking.
What's the matter? Aren't I pretty enough to kiss?
Don't tease me, I'm warning you.
About what? Your hidden fires?
Get hold of me, other boys! Let's go!
Okay, that's why it's a buffet. Let me tell you something.
They
got a German version on there, dubbed in German.
But Robert Wagner, from Heart to Heart.
Heart to Heart.
I'm trying to think what other
what
movie
was the,
he was
the doctor? He wasn't the doctor, was he? He never was a doctor.
I don't know. Don't know.
I can't remember. Could have been.
You don't know. But it's like, so coming from seeing that and seeing three older movie guys and other guys that you see, character actors.
Yeah.
You're like, they have to start anywhere. So it's like... That's pretty truth to the word.
Yeah.
Truth to the word. You don't know where it's going to go, like kind of Robert Carradine's last week thing. But just to pop on television, I'm not going to watch a 1950-something movie. And I'm like, holy shit, look at this.
It got your nerd interest in there, for
That's
sure.
That's what it is, nerd, because it's cowboys. All little boys want their cowboys and Indians.
Oh, geez, cowboys and Indians,
but
yes.
Robert Wagner, the real-life story of Jesse James. Then you see the Skipper, and then the Riddler. Doesn't get better than that for nerd characters.
That is a good one. So, I mean, I'm glad you mentioned the Skipper in there. Okay, but first, I think this has been around for a while. It's these deleted scenes from Star Wars.
Oh,
okay.
Cool.
I think they've made the rounds once, and they're back again. They're making the rounds again. These are deleted scenes, but there's one that caught my attention. So, let me enlighten you on it.
Come on, get in gear.
Okay, so there's the scene. That scene was never in there. That hat never made it. The first thing I see, and I gotta quit babbling. Gilligan's Island meets Star Wars.
Yeah,
Gilligan's with Star Johnny Wars Five is Island. Alive. Yes,
and thrown in there in that little scene, and it's like, holy shit!
I mean, if they had left that scene in, I know I am not the only one who would have tuned into that and said that's Gilligan's hat. The skew that it would have been played with or tainted with for life.
Oh yeah, plus the merchandising of that.
Yeah.
With the hat, with Gilligan's hat. Would Gilligan have been with stormtroopers after that? Some kind of crazy island / futuristic sci-fi thing, you know? I mean, would the professor been able to fix the boat now and the boat sails away on land? Who knows?
Well, here's the thing. There's a little cartoon that had 13 episodes. I don't know if you remember it, because I seen that, it brought back my nerd memory of Rescue for Gilligan's Island Planet.
Never saw that, but
let me enlighten you.
We've got a brand new story about the castaways.
We left our tiny island after years and months and days.
We built a little spaceship. It's crude, but it could fly.
We left for home and lost our way between the stars and sky.
We went from an island to a star, lost on Gilligan's planet.
Gilligan and Skipper, the millionaire, his wife.
The professor, the movie star, and Mary Ann began a brand new life.
What creatures we encounter. What riddles do we face?
What mysteries now haunt us in a strange, enchanting place?
Our adventures are the best by far.
Here on Gilligan's Star Planet.
Oh, yeah.
Never knew that was in existence.
Never knew that existed. Yeah, they only did 13 episodes of that, and I enjoyed it. I think I was about 12 years old, and it was just like, hey, it's another version of Gilligan's Island on Saturday, you know?
That's it. Saturday, or whatever you wanted to call it.
Yeah.
You had, like, Land of the Lost.
Yeah.
You had, what's the name of that? The robots, there were like, I don't know, it wasn't Thor, but it was robots and weird stuff and cartoonish. Like,
very low budget.
Yeah.
Very not expensive. Plus, it gave them a chance to get some more money.
Yeah, like Barb. What the hell was her name? Barbara something was the woman's name, or Barbara and Hannah did it.
I think Barbara Eden and Larry Hagman even.
Yeah.
I think there was a genie cartoon.
Yeah, something. I'm just saying.
So yes, there was a genie.
Babu.
Yes.
I remember this now. Right.
If you look at it's made by the same production company because of the way they're drawn, the same campiness. Let's play this. We'll do research on it. Babu. Yabble dabble.
Hot dogging it up, right high on a curl. Not thinking about it, I'd be meeting a girl. Then wham, I met. But that fall wasn't all. In a bottle was a chick, only 2 inches tall. Out came Genie.
Wow.
And Junior Genie, Babu. Genie.
Yes, Master?
Hi, Henry.
What are you doing here?
Looking for you.
Okay, you found me. Let's get out of here.
We can't. The owner is watching.
That's great. What do we do?
You'll have to win me.
Hey, buddy. You talking to those dolls?
No, I was talking to... Of course not. You think I'm some kind of ding-a-ling?
Yapple-dapple.
All right, I mean, that cartoon was happening for me right in between puberty and where you're not really care about puberty. Looking back on it, Jeannie's pretty hot. I mean, she's like, it's a good-looking cartoon, you know?
Hey, Babu reminds you a little bit of Fat Albert, another Saturday morning special.
What I'm thinking is the TV show What's Happening.
Oh, yeah.
Remember, what was that guy's name?
Rerun. Then you had Dwayne, and then you had Raj, and
yes.
You had Dee, and then you had Mama. And then you had Shirley. I love that show.
Oh, we got it. I want that theme song. I want the What's Happening theme song. Oh, Fred Berry as Rerun. I mean, it was, I guess he got, later on he got mixed up in drugs, he had a heart condition or something, and eventually he passed away.
He was, in one of the movies, I forget which movies, I don't want to say the 40-year-old virgin or Shallow Hal, but he played a Cupid pimp.
Yeah.
So he's been in other things. I loved his character. He was amazing.
It was the episode that they had. Oh my gosh, I was so where was I? I think I actually went to, I didn't go visit Tonopah. It was Goldfield, or was some Tone, 3 years ago. I stayed at the town nearby. An old What's Happening episode comes on. It was the episode of where they are being blackmailed into sneaking a tape recorder into the Doobie Brothers concert.
Wow, that's a great episode.
Yes, and so, you know, they got the jacket on. And what's funny about that is, years after that, before I even saw it, he's not going to want me to say his name, but me and a friend, we were trying to sneak. This was before the day of little tiny recorders, digital Walkman and things. We were trying to figure out how to sneak a big boombox into the Raiders concert so that we could record Paul Revere and the Raiders.
Oh, wow.
And we were like, maybe we should just throw it over the fence at the Oregon State Fair. Never did get to it. I wanted just one song. I wanted to record Hungry because it was my favorite song at the time. And we just never successfully did it. But it was just so funny to
go
out.
It's just fun thinking about doing it, experiencing it, trying it.
And for, you know, there was a, didn't Rerun have a dance?
Yeah, I used to go, but.
Well. That was a good investment. One dollar will get you two. Sell it. All right, we're gonna sell it now.
We saw Fat Freddy Stubbs dance.
Now, I thought later on in his career, the studio was claiming and stating that he could not do that dance, when actually he was the one who invented it. Because they were claiming, since you were under contract with us, that is our intellectual property. And there was a huge, don't quote me on any of this, I heard that there was a court battle, and he actually finally got the rights back of the intellectual rights of being the creator of the Freddy Rerun dance.
Well, it's funny you talk about nerdom, too, and getting into something else tying into all this. Michael Jackson, when he first did the moonwalk to Beat It,
yes,
on that American Music thing, he was dancing with people, breakdancers and stuff, for months and year ahead of time.
Way beforehand.
In the street and everything, and he picked up a lot of moves from people. And what people don't realize was there's a nation, I forget the name of it, I don't know if it's called the Boogaloo Nation or something Nation, about breakdancers and gangs and everything in New York that started in the 60s and 70s.
You're talking about the documentary that came out I think it wasn't too long ago, that kind of gives the synopsis history of breakdancing.
Yeah. So that this all ties into being a nerd because it was big in the 80s.
Absolutely. Okay, I think that's one of several different breakdancing documentaries that are out there. And what's neat about that is because, as you were saying, it was there in our youth and how it made its way into the mainstream. But it's kind of like, I'm going to say hip-hop DJing does not give an extensive olive branch route back to the past of what that was, of acknowledgement.
No, and that's what started a whole revolution with, I'm trying to think of the movie, I just Straight Outta Compton with Ice Cube and how they were NWA.
Yeah.
And all that stuff. This started before them. These guys looked up to other people, but you're also dealing with hardcore Blood and Crips, gang members, Latin Kings. It's all
at the time,
signs.
The breakdancing was a way, instead of shooting it out,
yes,
gangbanging it
yes,
out,
they used
let's
to turn
have a dance
around.
Off.
Exactly.
You know?
And it used to have all kinds of weird. Like I said, there's a line called Zulu Nation that it was a secret, I don't know about gang or something in New York, that it was like the big breakdancing thing that spun off some movies about this. They said if you got into this and got out, you had to get jumped. Now a whole line of people got beat up. This is to get
there,
jumped
there was,
in the
there
gang,
was,
out the
there
gang.
There was breakdancing, there was Beat Street. These are just a few of them that I'm seeing here. But anyway, do you remember watching Solid Gold?
Yes.
And when they would do the countdown and there'd be a few, they had most of the girls.
The Solid Gold dancers.
Yeah, the ladies were there, but still, you had those two guys who would do a lot of the breakdance moves.
Yes.
Again, that was getting it out there every day in mainstream.
Marilyn McCoo was on that
Marilyn
show.
McCoo from the Age of Aquarius.
Yes, just saying.
I can't
so many
name the
stuff.
Band. Well, okay, so what's the last thing you want to bring to the buffet before I bring the last thing?
Probably just nerds, nerd out, listen to our podcast, and probably just want to... We cover so much stuff. Okay, how about your favorite nerd food? Bizarre craving combination of what you like. I would have to say I could want to go for like a piece of cake with some kind of weird yogurt combination on it, like, you know, but vanilla but sugar free, like something you would be like, ugh, why do that? Because you're a nerd, you want to try different things.
You know what my weird nerd food is?
Go ahead.
All right, homemade Spanish rice.
Okay,
because it has to be made a special way. You nuke that, make it hot, take pork and beans,
okay,
mix that in with it on top, nuke it some more,
okay,
and then cold cottage cheese on top.
Well, that sounds like they taught me when I owned a piece of the tattoo shop. They used to turn around and have not the cottage cheese, but they would have all that together, call it the hookup.
The hookup?
Yeah, they would get, what do you call that thing?
So it actually has a name.
Yeah.
Okay.
They do it in jail. They get those ramen noodles.
Ramen noodles.
And they throw everything in there and hook it up, and they just throw everything in there, spice it up, kind of like we're doing with the buffet.
There's something
and they
about
do it in their jail cell because that's all they can't eat. So they got to rig it up.
Well, from what I was, what I like is
so
like,
you're doing the white boy version with the cottage cheese. That's the Oregon version. You just threw cottage cheese into it. I love that.
Well, there's something about the cold and then the very hot right there in the center, and then those, for that cold and hot flavor, just meshes together.
Yeah, that's why they
that
call
was
it
my
the hookup.
Favorite food.
You threw a white tail into it, though, you know, like a white version of it. Well, cottage cheese from the suburbs. Now that's what I like. This nerd shit, you can't do this. You don't buy this. It just
you
done.
Can't get this anywhere in your podcast. But Solid Gold, there was a song. It was a band called Slade. Do you remember them? They had the song called Run, Run Away.
Run, Run,
very,
Run Away.
Very popular in England. Dated back to like the late 60s. Back around the time of the Moody Blues, but never really had a hit in America until 1984 came along. And then there was that drum riff that was Run, Run Away. It was...
The drum riff? I thought that was owned by the Nelson guy we know.
No, this not this one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right, we got to chime in for that for the last one. That video, I mean, that was, the guy was had, we're talking stovepipe hat before Slash had stovetop pipe hat.
Plus, you had the nerd electric violin like they
yes.
had.
And that was popular like on Dexy's Midnight
yes,
Runners.
Exactly.
Come on, Eileen.
Come on, Eileen. Yeah.
Same kind of feel, same thing.
Wow.
Scottish, filmed in the at a castle there. And the outtakes, the guy was doing.
Yeah, the guy had the big log.
Yeah, the kegger toss.
Like, yeah, that was pretty cool, man. That is what you call sweet 80s in the boglands, I want to call it.
Yeah.
Scotland, England, all those.
They were on America.
Yes.
They were on Solid Gold, but I can't find the video right now, so we'll just close it out with that one.
Nerding out. Perfect. That, now, see now.